Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. An original Christianity is based upon the Word of God. It's called the Old Testament. And most Christian religions say that the Old Testament was either fulfilled or it was for the Jews only, and that the laws of God have been done away. And this is the contradiction that comes up. And people then have been given license to get rid of the laws of God by the ones who should be teaching the law of God. And that's what you see in all of the Christianity of this world today.
The Sabbath in the Old Testament was pointing forward to the day when God's people would enter into God's rest. And in Christ, we have that. So we are not bound to the Sabbath in the same way that they were in the Old Testament. But, listen to this now. Our internal rest in Christ will create patterns of external rest in life. So the Sabbath points to Jesus and how we are fulfilled in him, but that, having rest in Christ, will play out in our lives. So here's the big idea that I want you to hear through this. Finding rest in Jesus and then living out of that rest in life. So we find rest in Jesus, not a day of the week. And then we live out of that rest throughout the week. So if you're looking for rest, don't go to a day of the week, go to Jesus. Our rest is rooted in him that plays out every day.
And a major thing that they do not really grasp is that the one who became Jesus Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament. And they do not want to admit that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, as we covered in the last segment. He owns it. Now, it comes down to another question. Can man set aside something that God said should be observed in perpetuity? Can they say, by their authority, that God has done away with it? And if Jesus had done away with it, how would he have explained it? So let's come back to Exodus 31 and verse 13. Now, we've been there before, but many of the scriptures that we come to, you have to examine over and over again, because there is a lot of meaning to it. Now, when we carefully examine Exodus 31, beginning in verse 13, we will see that there is no way that even God himself would change the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. So let's read it. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, truly, or in truth, you shall keep my Sabbaths." Again, God owns it. "For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Now, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're not sanctified by God. It's that simple. Now, that's hard to take, because a lot of people have put their trust in their ministers and their theological teachers and those who profess to know Christianity but do not. Then he repeats it. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you." Now, God repeats it for a purpose, because people like to set it aside. Let's read on. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. Now, what does the New Testament say that the wages of sin is? Death. And what is sin? Many times we've gone over this. Sin is the transgressing of the laws and commandments of God. And that's the way people like to live, rather than obey God. For whoever does any work in it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Now, how important is that? Since it's holy to the Lord, does that not mean we should keep it? As he said? Huh? Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. Now, how many times did he say keep the Sabbath right here? 3 times, right? Does God mean it? Of course he does. Now, notice, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. Now, let's read the next phrase. As a perpetual covenant. Now, a covenant is an agreement that cannot be broken by either party, because if it is, it requires death. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross so that he could bring the new covenant, which then expands the laws and commands of God, as we saw in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Perpetual covenant. Now think about the things that are perpetual. Does the earth constantly turn on its axis? Yes. Do we have the tides coming and going regularly, perpetually, always? Yes. Perpetual means never ending under any circumstances. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now we've seen some of the scriptures where Jesus healed on the Sabbath, taught on the Sabbath, and expanded and amplified the law of God. When you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, because they had their own laws that they added to the laws of God, thinking they could make them better. There's no way that you're going to inherit eternal life. Now, the righteousness that comes from God through his laws with his spirit, so that they can be kept in the spirit of the law, in helping and serving and completing the purpose of the Sabbath. Now, let's come to Mark, the 3rd chapter. Let's see what happened when Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and you read in the Gospels that Jesus always went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, why did he do that? Because he kept the Sabbath, and he taught on the Sabbath. Verse 1, chapter 3 of the book of Mark. And again he went into the synagogue, and a man who had a withered hand was there, and they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath in order that they might accuse him. Now, why would the scribes and Pharisees want to accuse him? Because they wanted him to keep their laws, which were, as we talked about, made to cover around the Ten Commandments. Just like you find in the book, the Code of Jewish Law. Now, we may read a couple of things out of there, but you need our book, Judaism, revelation of Moses or religion of men. Because if you haven't read that book, you don't have a clue as to what was going on between Jesus and the religious authorities. And how perverted did the religious authorities become? Well, you read in John 7 that they had given themselves over to Satan, the devil, at the temple of God. So let's read the account here. Verse 3. Then he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Stand here in the center." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And after looking around at them with anger, how strongly was Jesus portraying to them that the Sabbath was made for man, and he owns it. And all of the regulations of the Jews concerning the Sabbath are not to be replaced the proper observing of the Sabbath in spirit and in truth. With anger, being grieved at the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as sound as the other. Now notice, the Pharisees left and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Why? Because they said that he didn't keep the Sabbath. Let's look at another account in John, the 5th chapter. Because the Jews had a lot of laws. You can't carry this on the Sabbath. You can't carry that on the Sabbath. So after Jesus healed a man who had an infirmity for decades, healed him completely, and he told him, take up his bed, which was like a sleeping bag, after he healed him and told him to go his way. And the Jews wanted to know, who told you to carry that? Because it was unlawful to a Jew to carry something like that on the Sabbath day. And so then Jesus found him later, and what he told him was this. He said, go and sin no more. Now, let's see what the Jews said here. In the faithful version, we have this properly translated, because most other versions say that Jesus broke the Sabbath. He did not. He did not transgress the Sabbath by healing that man. Nor was that man breaking the Sabbath by carrying his sleeping bag. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And for this cause, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on a Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, now listen carefully, my Father is working until now, and I work. Meaning, there is spiritual work to do on the Sabbath. And that is to come to God, to keep his Sabbath, to study his word, to learn his way, to increase your understanding and love of God. All of those every Sabbath. That's why we have the Sabbath day every 7 days. Here's the proper translation. They sought to kill him not only because he had loosed the Sabbath. Now, what does that mean? That means loosed it from their stringent laws that you can't carry this on the Sabbath. And because he had called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So the Jews were all upset, didn't want him doing those things. They wanted Jesus to join them But he didn't do it. Let's come to Luke, the fourth chapter. Now, you read through the Gospels and you see that Jesus constantly went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, let's look at it this way. And this is the only way it could have been. Remember what Jesus said when he expanded the law and made it glorious? You find that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He didn't do away with it. He gave the spiritual intent of the law. Verse 14, Luke 4. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and word about him went around the entire country around. And he taught in their synagogues and was glorified by all. And another account says he went Sabbath by Sabbath to the synagogues. Now, what would Jesus have to teach them if he were changing the Sabbath? He would have to do exactly like he magnified the laws in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He would have to have said, you have heard it said by Moses in the past time that you shall keep the Sabbath. But I say to you, I am now changing it, and you come on Sunday. Do you find that anywhere in the New Testament? No. Why? Because the Sabbath is what? Perpetual. Through every generation. So let's read here, continuing in Luke 4. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and according to his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus kept the Sabbath his entire life. He taught on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. And all of those things show the proper way to keep the Sabbath. Now let's read on. Then there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had unrolled the scroll, he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For this reason, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim pardon to the captives and recovery of sight of the blind, and to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Not one word about changing the Sabbath. Not a single indication that he was going to change it from the seventh day to the first day. Let's come to Luke, the sixth chapter. Let's just read verse 5, because this is a repeat of what we covered before. Now let's look at this again in relationship to what we read at the beginning. Luke 6 and verse 5. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now notice what happened in verse 6. Now it also came to pass on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. We covered that in Mark, the third chapter already. Now, let's come to Luke 8 and verse 1. Jesus, during the 3.5-year ministry that he had, he taught every Sabbath. He kept all the holy days of God. And as God manifested in the flesh, he showed us how to keep the Sabbath. To do the things that are right, to do the things that are good, to pray to God, to study his word, to fellowship together when we congregate together, and all of that. Luke 8 and verse 1. Now it came to pass afterwards that he traveled through all the land, city by city, and village by village, preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now this shows over and over and over again that he always kept the Sabbath taught on the Sabbath, did the things that were right on the Sabbath. Never once did he ever say or give a hint or even a slight indication that the Sabbath was going to be changed to the first day of the week. And we have seen that what God has said, no man has the power to change. Any more than you can change the sun, moon, and stars, and the tides, and the day and the night. It's impossible. So all the proclamations of whoever has proclaimed the first day of the week are liars and agents of Satan the devil. Now, you may not like that, because if you have a nice Sunday-keeping preacher, you might think he's a pretty good guy. Well, ask him directly, why do we keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath as the Bible says? Let's come to Luke 13 and verse 10. Now notice this plural here. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on one of the Sabbaths. And there was a woman who had been afflicted with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and who was bent over and unable to straighten herself up. And when he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you have been loosed from your infirmity." See? Loosing people from sin. Loosing people from sickness. Then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Now notice what the ruler of the synagogue did. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which men are obligated to work. Therefore, during those days, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day." Notice Jesus' answer. See, because they were desecrating the Sabbath because of their laws and because of the things that they added, which were not of God. That's the same way with Sunday keeping. Men have added all these things and added these days and all of the holidays of the world, which are condemned in the Bible. But they don't believe the Bible. Oh, they read some scriptures. They like this little verse here and this little verse there. But will they come to God His way? Will they preach the Word of God His way? Will they understand the truth of God? No. Therefore, the Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to drink? And is it not just as necessary for this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, lo, 18 years, to be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Look at what happened here. Verse 17, "And after he said those things, all those who opposed him were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were being done by him." So Jesus taught on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath. He went from synagogue to synagogue, from Sabbath to Sabbath, from city to city, from village to village, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, and not once did he give a single hint, not once, that he was going to change the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. Now you need the book, Which Day is the True Christian Sabbath? There will be even people who will listen to what I have just presented, and they're such staunch Sunday keepers that they think that they're right, but they're not.
Why do Christians not keep the Sabbath on the Sabbath? The Sabbath day is Saturday. Why do we keep the Sabbath on Sunday? That's a great question. Now, there are some Christians who kind of reject, I guess, you might, for lack of a better term, reject the idea that Sunday is the new holy day. And they would say, no, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath is Saturday, therefore we keep that day. And I understand that, but what they're doing is they're separating themselves from the New Testament. What they're separating themselves from is not just the Old Testament, they're separating themselves from what Jesus does in the New Covenant. How do Christians see this originally? Well, Jesus died on Friday, and 3 days later, on Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three, he's raised from the dead. He rises from the dead. That becomes what early Christians call the Lord's Day. We consider Jesus to be the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament, everything that the Jews were waiting for, were longing for, that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, is fulfilled in the New Covenant.
Now, I know there will be some people who say, Fred Calder, why do you get so upset over this? Well, I'm not upset, but I have the sense of God's Spirit to see all the hypocrisy of all of the lying Sunday keepers teaching people to transgress the holy Sabbath of God and follow in the way of this world of Sunday keeping and holiday keeping. That is not in the Bible as something we should do. Everywhere in the Bible, those are condemned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, you need to have these two books, Judaism versus Scripturalism and Judaism, Revelation of Moses or Religion of Men. And you need our book, Lord, What Should I Do? That will give you a start on what you need to do, how you can come to God, how you need to repent. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope that this series concerning the Sabbath day, part number 5, has helped you understand even more the importance of the Sabbath. So until next time, so long, everyone.